I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
And you know what? I have to say, I've been struggling today all day. I'm sleepy, I'm busy, I'm stressed, but I actually feel really good now. I'm like excited to record. We caught up a little bit.
That is kind of the beauty of doing this, because I feel like all day I'm like, oh my God, I have to like do more after working all day.
Truly.
And it seems really daunting. But then I feel like the second I'm here and sitting down, I'm like, I could do this for 5 hours. I'm fine.
I feel good now. Yeah, yeah. I remember like I texted you because I was like 7:30, like our usual start time. And
yeah.
You're like, yeah, like let's aim for 7:30. And then I was like, actually, I just want to sit here for like a minute. Can we do 7:45 instead?
Yeah, for real. I feel much better now because I thought I was going to have to work 2 jobs tomorrow and I only have to work one. So I'm like, you know what? I feel better than I did 20 minutes ago.
A relief, certainly.
I'm like, I can sleep in the morning, footloose and fancy free over here.
Nice. Jealous.
Haha. Actually. Of that. Oh, man. Well, it's funny because I feel like the last few weeks I've been kind of having to like narrow down the things that I want to talk about. I feel like there's been a lot going on.
Yeah.
But this week I kind of had to like dig back a little bit, although there is like some very new news going on. It just did seem, it seemed at least to me, like a slightly slower news week.
Yeah. I think my topic, so one is very topical. Well, they're both topical, but one is more broad to talk about today. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
I don't really have anything particularly like devastating or sad.
I don't either. Well, kind of.
How we decide. Whoever's got the saddest one goes first.
I will start with, it's not sad. It's actually a good thing.
Okay, great. Let's just start with whatever. You get us started.
Okay. So there was a former Louisville police officer who pled guilty this week to lying on Breonna Taylor's search warrant. So former Louisville Metro Police Detective Kelly Hannah Goodlett, who we talked about a couple of weeks ago, whenever there were some
charges were brought up, right?
Being brought up. So this is, I think I referred to her at that time as an ex-police detective. So this is who it is. She pleaded guilty on Tuesday to one count of conspiring to violate the civil rights of Breonna Taylor for helping falsify an affidavit for the search of her apartment that ended in her death in March of 2020. So she is expected to be a star witness. She pled guilty, but there was also a plea deal in place.
I was going to say, so she's probably got some protections in order to now discuss more about what she knows about the other people who were involved.
Right. So the contents of the plea agreement remain sealed, but she is expected to be the star witness at the trial of two of her ex-colleagues, Joshua Janes and Kyle Meaney, when they are tried on civil rights charges in connection with Breonna Taylor's death. And then, of course, there is also a third ex-detective, Brett Hankinson, who has been charged on a separate federal indictment. And I don't think she, at this time, is lined up to testify against him or be a witness against him.
Okay.
So she admitted to the charge before a U.S. district judge, and she's the first officer to be convicted in connection with Breonna Taylor's death. She admitted she falsely claimed a postal inspector had verified Taylor was receiving packages for her ex-boyfriend, Jamarcus Glover, at her apartment before the raid. In fact, the postal inspectors said there was no evidence that Taylor was receiving those packages to her apartment.
I do recall that being a topic of conversation now a few years ago.
Right. So the whole thing was that her ex-boyfriend was
was allegedly a drug dealer or had something to do with drugs. But since he was was it that he was just like staying at her place a lot?
Well,
and things like that, or allegedly having things sent to her home instead of his and things like that to like take them off their scent.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what they said. Because this was her ex-boyfriend. Like, she had a new boyfriend who was with her the night that she was shot and killed.
Oh, I thought it was the same person.
No. So Jamarcus Glover was her ex-boyfriend. I don't know where they got this intel that he was staying there. I'm guessing they believed that he was staying there, and so they falsified a
document. At least sending things there.
Yeah, I don't know that they believed that he was sending things there. I think that they thought they could find him there, and so they were like, well, this is one way to get a warrant, is to say that, like, well, he's receiving packages there, so he's at least a temporary resident of her place. And the postal workers were like, no.
Yeah, describe my face. It's not jiving with me.
Right, exactly. They just straight up lied.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
they were going to say whatever they could. Like, it's just, why do people put so much effort into other people's fucking business, even when it has to do with drugs and things like that? It's like, why do you care so much? Like, why are you involving some other? I don't know. I don't know the details of like whatever it is they were looking into, but it's like, why are you involving another person in this man's business? You know what I mean? It's just fucking annoying.
That's kind of the thing, is like, even if you felt righteous, like, you were going to catch this guy, right?
Which drug dealer. Like,
yeah. I mean, and I don't know the details of everything he was involved in.
Right.
But I feel like even if you felt like there was some kind of, you were righteous in your act to try and get this drug dealer and get him arrested, right? There had to be a better way of doing that than invading someone else's home and having to lie to do it.
And also, right? Like, coming into somebody's home, guns a-blazing, ready. It's just, I feel like there's so many, I hope that there are more answers to these questions during the trial, because I just feel like there's so much missing information for me of what you just said. Like, how this all came to be just seems so stupid. Well, like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I'm guessing that she will testify to some of that, right?
Exactly.
Because her pivotal role in this was falsifying, you know, the information to get that search warrant. So I'm expecting they're going to ask her why did you feel the need to falsify the information to get the search warrant?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So the attorney for Breonna Taylor's family said that she shared pivotal information that's going to be used against her colleagues. The indictment of Joshua Janes, which is one of the other officers facing charges, alleges that Kelly Goodlett met with him in his garage after everything went down so that they could get on the same page after the, because the postal inspector came forward and was like, no, that's not what happened. She was never receiving packages to her house from her ex-boyfriend. And so
they're like, what are we going to say now?
What are we going to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy didn't have our back. So we need to get our story straight. So that's just, it further proves that they knew what they were doing. They knew that what they were doing was wrong. She faces a sentence of no more than 5 years in prison, plus up to a $250,000 fine and 3 years of supervised release. So not a terribly harsh sentence, really, given the fact that her information directly led to somebody being shot and killed.
Yeah, I think that it definitely would make more sense for me to have a longer sentence, but I do understand the circumstances of giving someone a lighter sentence to be able to now prosecute these other people. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, I can understand giving a little bit for a certain person in order to get what you're really going after. It is just unfortunate because, like you said, she is so responsible for the murder of Breonna Taylor. So it's unfortunate that someone so responsible isn't going to be held accountable.
Right. I mean, and also police officers and, you know, law enforcement officers should be held to a higher standard, just period. Right. You know, I saw somebody on TikTok say that they really wished there was a podcast out there that was a true crime podcast, but it was only stuff the police have done. Like, illegal stuff the police have done.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would absolutely listen to that.
100%. Like, Shady Cops, new podcast.
Yes, there you go. There it is for free.
TM. Trademark. This is older news, but it's still very much in the media right now, and I wanted to talk about it, and that is the Finnish Prime Minister Sanna Marin.
Yeah.
And all of the shenanigans surrounding her. Now, she's been in the news before during the pandemic. Like, once the vaccines had gotten out, she was in the news because she was spotted going clubbing after being exposed to COVID. But she had then come out and said, like, I was vaccinated, so my doctor said I could go out. Sorry, it looked so bad, you know, that kind of thing. But she's 36 years old. She's young. She's gorgeous. She doesn't really dress and act like she's like a prime minister, I guess. So a lot of people have a lot of problems with her. You know, she's photographed at music festivals and out with her friends. And like, she's just a very normal lady, right? So I believe it was like about a week ago, maybe a little bit more now, there was a video that was leaked by Finnish tabloids of her like drinking and dancing with her friends at a house party. And it's seriously like the tamest stuff. The lights. Have you seen the videos?
I haven't, but I mean,
you've probably seen like at least the like clip image. It's like it's dark and it's like a TikTok video of like her and her friends like lip syncing a song and she has a drink in her hand.
What's the issue? Do people just feel
like... The issue is that she was like partying and drinking.
And people feel like she shouldn't do those things because she's got more important things on her plate. Is that why?
Apparently a prime minister should not be behaving in this way.
But you're in your friend's house. It's not the same as like...
Exactly. And Sanna was very frustrated because it was like these videos and this time was not for the public's viewing. You know, she felt probably very betrayed that whoever leaked these videos did, because she was like, you know, I was just with my friends. And she even said, she was like, I wasn't even that drunk. I moderately drank. I was sober enough to drive home at the end of the night. And people were giving her like, someone said that in the back of the video, you could hear something about snow. So they were like, she's doing cocaine.
They're from Finland. They could have been talking about anything.
Exactly. And she's like, okay, I will do a drug test if that means that everybody will calm down about it. So she offered to do a drug test. She did the drug test. It came back negative and clear. So she's like, see, like, I'm not doing drugs. I'm just drinking and enjoying time with my friends.
I think the thing that really bothers me about this, because sure, if you want to have the conversation of like, should we expect our elected officials, when they take an oath of office, do we expect them to have a certain kind of conduct, not only you know, when they're public facing, but in their private lives as well. Because I do think, you know, anytime you're a part of any company, they're like, you're representing us. Even yeah. when you're not here, whatever. We can have that conversation if that's what you want to have. However, how many politicians and world leaders do we know of? Like, Trump was so obviously on, like, amphetamines
yeah.
throughout his presidency.
Yeah.
The shady shit that we know that our male presidents in this country get up to.
Yeah. Well, and that was kind of the response. So social media, first of all, women were posting videos in solidarity of themselves, like, drinking and dancing with their friends. And they're like, I'm a teacher, I'm a mom. And, like, I still have, like, a fun life. And then also people were posting pictures of, like, I can't remember this guy's last name. The weird Boris guy who just done with the UK.
Yeah.
There's, like, a video of him, like, dancing with a drink in his hand. Boris Johnson, yeah. Thank you. And, like, a couple other, like, you know, important leaders of the world with drinks in their hand, like, dancing at an event or whatever.
You're still, it's like, a human being who wants to have fun exactly. and needs to let off steam. Yes. And, like, that's all very normal. I mean, I was just at a party this last weekend. I think people also, for some reason, seem to think that 36 is, like, too old to be doing that. And I'm like, it is not
it
at
is
all.
Very much not. The other thing now that's come up more recently was that there was a photo released of two girls flashing the camera and kissing each other with a Finland sign in front of their chests. And it was taken in her Helsinki home. I'm not really sure how people are, like, aware of that, but I guess people know what her house looks like enough to be like, that was in her house. And she even came forward, like, apologizing for the photo, saying that it wasn't appropriate.
Was it her?
No, it was, like, two friends of hers or two girls. And the way that I read it in the article, they described it as two topless women holding each other's bare chests, kissing with a sign. And then I saw the picture today, and it's like two girls are flashing the camera, and one of them is kind of holding the Finland sign, and it's covering their chest. You can't see any nipple or anything, and they're kissing each other. But people are losing their minds.
Because this took place in her house?
Because it took place in her house. It's
like, okay.
Like, you shouldn't be friends with people who are flashing the camera and... I'm like, who's even finding this stuff? But the thing is, and I don't want to forget to say this, but I just realized I haven't looked at my notes once. Very proud of myself. But, like, the reason that a lot of this is becoming such big news as well is because she is currently helping Finland become part of NATO.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm wondering if there's anything to do with her, like, defectors that are pushing this type of narrative to make Finland look bad. I'm not really sure what the intention is. But
the thing is, again, I don't know. Maybe none of this is immoral. Like, that's kind of the thing is, like, none of this is immoral.
No.
Like, two women kissing is not immoral.
No.
They're not even actually
naked.
No.
Partying. It looks like two girls having fun at a party. Like, right. I've done shit like that.
Partying at your friend's house is not immoral.
No.
Drinking is not immoral. Nor are these things that, again, other world leaders haven't done.
But I also think what is immoral is these things being leaked. Who's doing this? I'm like, is it a friend of hers? Is it, like, it just seems very shady to me.
Well, the picture could have been posted somewhere and maybe somebody found it and then shared it. Yeah, the video, that's somebody she has to know or a friend of a friend or something.
Yeah, it just seems very, it's just, that's the thing that I think people need to be focusing on is that this is just such an invasion of her privacy and her private life. Like, this shouldn't be up for debate. This is what she chooses to do within her private time, and she's doing a hell of a job running your country, so shut the fuck up.
Right. And, you know? Yeah, again, it's not in public.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the thing. Yes, if Obama were to go to a club and he was dancing
and he was
everybody
schlossed,
was going to be taking pictures and videos, and he should expect that. You're the president of the United States, right?
Yeah.
But, like, if you are at a friend's home, there's a sense of safety there, and it does feel like a violation of your trust and your privacy. So that's really shitty and should have no bearing at all on whether or not Finland should be allowed to join NATO. Like, what a strange connection to make.
Very weird timing, and I don't know what the connection is, but it was mentioned in a lot of the articles that I was reading about all of her backlash, and it just kind of seems like interesting timing. But she's been really great about dealing with you know, everything going on between like Russia and the Ukraine and things like that. Like, she really, to me, seems like she's a wonderful leader. So maybe like, listen, back off a little
work
bit.
Work hard, play hard. Mm-hmm. Who among us hasn't
been
there?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like,
truly, I'm for it. Let off that steam. Well, do you want to take a quick break and then we'll come back with some more news?
I guess we can do that.
Okay.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Okay, so back to school is among us
it is.
Right now. You know, I've been really trying to limit my social media time, so I haven't seen all of the everyone every year has to take pictures of their kids with backpacks in front of
like the chalkboard or whatever,
in front of a tree or something. So I haven't seen a lot of those, but I know they're out there.
They're there.
And I also have a lot of like family members whose kids were going back to school, and some of them started like August 1st.
That's too early.
Isn't that wild? Like, I was like, whoa.
It was always crazy to me. So where I'm from, we started school after Labor Day because it was also, so like the last day of the Minnesota State Fair is Labor Day. So it's like, you're not going to go to school and go to the fair at the same time. I swear that's part of it. So school always starts the day after the fair ends.
Honestly, starting after Labor Day would make sense just because you get that day off anyway. So it's like, you're going to start school and then immediately have a day off.
Yeah.
We always started school before Labor Day at the end of August.
Yeah. But I feel like most places did.
Yeah, but August 1st, I mean,
that's too early.
It's right after July. Like, the summer just started. We can't. But unfortunately, back to school in this country means preparing for the possibility of school shootings.
Yes.
So let's take a look at some of the proposals going around to protect kids from school shootings, because this is a conversation that we need to have every year at back to school, because it is...
Nothing changes.
it's an inevitability that when school is in session, we are going to get shootings. So, as we've mentioned previously, some states seem to think it's a good solution to gun violence in schools to bring more guns into schools.
To arm our teachers and all that jazz.
So there have been proposals to arm teachers with weapons to defend their students in case of emergency. This, as we've already discussed, feels like an obvious bad idea, but... what do I know? At least 28 states, including Texas, currently allow teachers or school staff to be armed in the classroom under varying conditions. It's unclear how effective that has been at undermining a school shooting. I mean, we just had one in Texas.
Yep.
And critics note that research shows that adding firearms to a situation only increases the risk of gun violence.
Yeah.
Again, duh.
Yeah.
Right?
It escalates the situation. You're getting more guns involved. It's just
there's
not
just
safe.
More opportunity for things to go wrong.
And I also just feel like it tends, like, if there is a young shooter in the building and they see someone else with a gun, I can see where that would escalate it. They would want to defend themselves more with the gun that they have against the gun that this teacher
right.
has,
puts,
you know?
It puts people more on edge.
Yeah.
And then also, and I think I brought this up last time we talked about this as well, do you really think that it's an impossibility for a teacher, teachers, who are notoriously stressed and underpaid,
yeah,
dealing with classrooms that have way too many kids in them,
yeah,
you don't think that eventually a teacher is going to snap and be in a room with access to a firearm?
Yeah.
You don't think that's ever going to happen?
I don't want to think about that.
But it's true.
No, I know. I'm almost kind of surprised that it hasn't. I mean, I'm sure that there are stories of teachers like using gun violence that I'm just not aware of, but like that's really scary to think about.
It is scary, you know, and also just like any kind of like inner working between staff. Like it's not safe. Like I just found out that at my job, at the conference center or the conference room that I go in for meetings every week, there was a murder suicide in my building.
Oh my God.
Because there was a they were both married coworkers, and he was like, no, I don't want to see you anymore, and she shot him and shot herself in my office in the conference room that I go in every week.
As haunted.
Definitely
haunted.
You
gotta sage the shit out of that place mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, it's super haunted. But that's the thing, is just like, if you allow people to have access to guns, and I know that you could say that a teacher could still bring a gun in if they wanted to shoot
right.
another teacher
or whatever. But the access isn't gonna be there. There's more, and I mean, and that's the other thing. There should be other things in place so that a teacher couldn't bring a gun in. You know what I mean? Just like the same precautions that we take with students. But the fact of it being there, it's convenience. Right. You know what I mean? And there shouldn't be that convenience.
Also, kids are kids. And you're telling me that eventually a kid's not going to figure out how to get into that safe if they yeah. want to?
And especially just like being like, yeah, kids, we have guns in the classroom. I don't know. I just feel like that is another thing that kids would be like, let's try to figure it out.
If I was a parent, I don't think I would let my kid go to a classroom where I knew there was a gun. I don't care how much I trust that teacher.
No.
To me, just like being in a room, putting my child in a space with a gun.
I don't like it. Well, you know, I was raised very hippy dippy and always very scared of guns. Like my parents never would have like let that fly. And I'm terrified of guns.
Yeah.
I've never touched one. I don't think I ever will. I am terrified of them.
It's a hard pass Whew. For me. So following the Uvalde shooting, two states, Ohio and Louisiana, proposed legislation aimed at arming teachers in the classroom, despite both experts and teachers voicing their opposition.
Yeah.
Like vast majority, it's something like 80% or more of teachers are like, no,
yeah.
like we don't want that.
Yeah.
You know? Louisiana, for what it's worth, has rejected the bill, which would have allowed permitless carry so that Louisianians over the age of 21 could carry a concealed firearm without undergoing the training, registration, and permitting
no.
process. No! Right? So they're like, just take away all the barriers, every single one of them.
Isn't that the opposite of what we're trying to
exactly,
do?
Exactly, exactly. Oh. The law also would have designated some school faculty and administrators as, quote, school protection officers. We do not pay our teachers enough
no.
to be dealing with this shit.
No.
Truly.
And like, there should be less policing in schools. And now we're going to make teachers officers? Great.
Well, I just read before we started recording that the Uvalde school officer, the one that had, you know, was working at that school, the
yeah.
police officer that was working at that school, was fired.
Yeah.
Because they were like, you didn't do anything.
You did nothing.
You didn't help the situation at all. Keep in mind as well that in many of the states that are proposing arming teachers, the number of hours of training necessary to have a gun in school would be less than what is required currently for actual police officers. like the number of hours that, of training is less for teachers than for police officers. So that's cool. If you're not into arming teachers, no problem.
Good.
There are a couple of other solutions.
Am I going to like them any better?
That are being suggested? No.
Oh.
Well, one of them, maybe. Not this one. Taser armed drones. So taser
drones?
Drones.
They're not human.
Uh-huh.
What if they just get some random fucking kid running in the playground?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of issues with this. So taser developer Axon said this week it is working to build drones armed with the electric stunning weapons that could fly in schools and help prevent the next Uvalde, Sandy Hook, or Columbine.
I'm done.
Luckily, the firm's own technology advisors were like, no.
Thank you.
Some expressed concerns about weaponizing drones in over-policed communities of color.
Wow, what a good idea. Also, weaponizing robots in general, I feel like there have been a lot of movies made about this saying we shouldn't do it.
Doesn't feel great.
The robots are going to revolt against us and we will all die. They are stronger.
The announcement from Axon angered members of the ethics board, some of whom are now likely to quit in protest. Quote, this particular idea is crackpot, said Barry Friedman, a New York University law professor who sits on the ethics board. Quote, drones can't fly through closed doors. A physical property, the physical properties of the universe still hold. So unless you have a drone in every single classroom in America, which seems insane, the idea isn't going to work. I love that this law professor was like, this is fucking stupid. Like, he's like, this is truly insane.
And what did, wait, read that line again where it's like the laws of...
the physical properties of the universe still hold. Just, I mean, and he's...
I don't know why this... He was like, I'm going to make this sound really educated, but dumb it down for you as much as I can. Well, like, this cannot fly through walls.
When you think about drones, you do, you think of them like outside in the sky, which is not how this would work. You would have to
have it.
Are there
going to be skylights in each classroom for it to drop into? Like, logistically, what's going to happen?
It doesn't make sense.
God, it's so funny.
So, no guns in schools, no drones. What else can we do? How about bulletproof safety pods? Some schools have had safety pods that were originally manufactured as tornado shelters. Some have proposed that we make those babies bulletproof and we repurpose them as cute little child-sized panic rooms for school shootings. So you have these pods, they're bulletproof. Kids can go into those to protect themselves.
I think it's a great idea, but at the same time, it makes me so sad.
It's super sad. Of the three options, of course, this is the best one.
Yeah.
The pods would be resistant to handguns, shotguns, and semi-automatic high-caliber weapons like AR-15s. Of all the solutions, like I said, this one is the most popular with parents and educators.
Right.
But the problem is they're expensive as fuck,
yeah.
Costing $15,000 to $30,000 per classroom.
Oh my
so
gosh.
So it's just not feasible. I mean, we already don't have
we
any
would need
money.
Like a donation of these things, which honestly should happen. Like, I feel like if I made something bulletproof, if that was like my thing and I was a scientist, I hope that I would be a good enough person to be like, I'm going to donate. I mean, not to every school in the world, but if I like was like, I'm going to donate these to three Los Angeles schools or something like that.
But
I think
that they are saying that you'd want to have one in every classroom. And so you're talking $15,000 to $30,000 per classroom.
Yeah, you'd be losing a lot of money.
And also, I don't know, I have questions about like, how do you teach the kids how to use them? And
it would be like a tornado drill, fire drill situation.
But if you can't get in from the outside... What if your kid, like, what if you had a kid who just locked themselves in there? How are you going to get them out?
Well, what I would guess is that there would be precautions,
kind of
like probably keys on the inside, or, you know what I, like, there's got to be some sort of safety mechanism, but I would assume that it would be, I mean, I did tons of tornado drills growing up. I feel like it would kind of be the same thing. It also would help normalize it. Not that I think that school shootings should be normalized, but I also don't think that kids should be living in fear. And that's my other concern, is that it's like you're adding another thing for them to be thinking about it and to be
and
aware
seeing,
of it
all
and
the
seeing
time.
It. Yeah. They know what that room is used for. And that's a really scary thing to think about. But I think that doing those types of drills normalizes it in a way that makes someone feel safe direct so they know what to do.
I guess that my question would be, because the teacher's not always going to be able to go in with their students is right. the thing. So it's like, do they have some kind of like button under their desk that there unlocks the has door to or be, something?
There has to be some sort of like code or button on the inside or something that would be... It's not like these kids are going to get locked in forever. I doubt. I'm sure that they've thought of methods.
I would hope so. But anyway, I would hate to be a parent or a teacher
yeah.
right now. Because yeah. Can you believe that they have to think about this when they get little Bobby or Susie ready for school every day?
No. It's awful. Honestly, I don't want to think about it. It's awful. I just want to finish up really quick because this is probably some of the latest news. We're recording on Wednesday, so it is kind of today's news for us. But Biden announced his student loan forgiveness plan on Wednesday, saying it will forgive $10,000 in student loans for borrowers who make less than $125,000.
Which is a lot of people.
It's most people, yeah. I feel like, you know, and it's... It's great because of this income gap, quote, no high income individual or high income household in the top 5% of incomes will benefit from this action, according to the White House. So it was set in place so that, because what happens already is like a lot of these like Ivy League graduates will be able to like qualify for like debt relief and things like that when they don't really need it as much as other degrees do.
Right. I mean, and also... They are pulling in enough. Like I understand that people who have Ivy League educations oftentimes have
more money,
but they also have insane debt. Like I understand yeah. that, but they are making a lot more money than the average person in order to pay off their debt more quickly.
Right. And if you graduated from an Ivy League college and you're not making that income, it still applies to you. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
15 million of the 43 million people with federal loans owe less than $10,000, and these borrowers are least likely to pay back their debt loans. So that's kind of an explanation for that. In all, the plan will wipe out debt for almost 20 million people, and it will decrease monthly payments by an average of $250 for those on a 10-year plan. Many Republicans have publicly opposed loan forgiveness, particularly in recent months, as the movement for executive action has gained steam. In May, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said, "Student loan socialism would be a giant slap in the face to every family who sacrificed to save for college, to every graduate who paid off their debt, to every worker who made a different career choice so they could stay debt-free."
Shut the fuck up. Made in the strongest possible terms. No, because here's the thing. That mentality fills me with fury immediately.
You should have picked a better job.
It makes me so upset because it's just like, and honestly, I can empathize. I get it. If you paid off your student loans and it was a massive sacrifice for you, it would be like, oh God, I wish that this had been around
exactly.
for me. Right. And like, that's a shitty feeling. I get that.
But there's a lot of things that happen like that.
And also, if you are a good person, you want it to be easier for other people. You don't want other people to have gone through what you went through. You don't want them to have to suffer like you did. And
exactly.
if you do, what's wrong with you?
Exactly.
What's wrong with you if you yeah. want other people to suffer just because you did?
Yeah.
It's so like, it's such a gross mentality. And to say it out loud is so childish.
Yeah. It's none of it makes sense to me. Who sacrificed to save for college? It's just, I don't know. It's ridiculous.
I mean, I do understand it on a purely human level of just like, well, I had to do this way.
Of course, and you're allowed to feel that way.
Crossing your mind initially. I think that's totally like normal and human.
And valid too.
Yes. Like, yeah, of course.
You're allowed to be jealous that you didn't get that same cut and things like that. But you also.
Think about it for 1 second.
Exactly.
Really. Like, think about it for 1 second. I would not want I don't have student loan debt.
Yeah.
You know.
But, I'm lucky that I don't either.
But my older brother does. And yeah. it is a huge, huge burden on yeah. his life. I see the way it affects his life every day. It is a massive, massive burden. And I don't want that for my little brothers.
Yeah.
I don't want them to have to go through what I see him going through.
Yeah.
And also, so often when people are making these decisions to take these loans and stuff, they are 18. And then if they grow up and they decide, I don't want to actually do the job that I went and got in all this
exactly.
debt for because I had to make a decision.
I had to make this decision when I was 18 years old.
My whole future. whenever I was still a child. It's just, I just,
it's too much.
Why do we want people to suffer? It's so gross.
It is bizarre. But if you are seeking debt relief, you can provide either your 2020 or 2021 income taxes in applying for loan forgiveness.
There you go.
There you go, everybody. For any of you with student loan issues, now might be your time.
Yeah. Happy for you.
Happy for you. All right. That's all we have for you today. If there's anything that you want us to talk about in next week's episode, you can go ahead and email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or direct message us on Instagram at @angryneighborhoodfeminist. We have a Facebook business and group page. You can rate and review us on the business page and chat with the other listeners on the group page. And last but not least, if you haven't left us a review on Apple Podcasts, please do that. It means the world to us. Thank you. All right, that's all we have for you today. With all of that being said, we encourage you to rage on. Bye.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.